What are some of the big things that you're excited to talk with corn and soybean growers here in the state of North Dakota?
In the next few years, we're going to see the complete transformation of the global economic system, which, among other things, means that the world is running out of people under age 40. It's not that we ran out of kids. That was 20 years ago. This is the decade we're running out of working-aged adults, and the country that is going to be most affected by that transformation is China. And, you know, of course, this is a country that absorbs just a little bit of soy and corn from other places. So, in essence, the world's largest manufacturing power and the destination for a huge chunk of the world's raw commodities, agriculture and otherwise, is going to go to zero. And that is going to change a few people's business plans.
Well, and especially here in North Dakota, the Red River Valley, a lot of what we produce ends up in overseas destinations, especially China. What does that mean for restructuring and things that we have to keep in mind as we plan ahead?
Well, we're on the verge of a world that has fewer people and poorer people. So among other things, that means less animal protein. And if you're producing something that is primarily used as fodder, well, you know, you can see how that would be a problem. But as much of a shock as that's going to be here, it's going to be far worse in locations where the input stream that allows the farmers to grow food in the first place are going to be disrupted. Now, here in North Dakota, here in North America, most of our supply streams are native to the continent. So we produce all of our own nitrogen, most of our own equipment, and so on. In Brazil, over 3/4 of it comes from a different hemisphere. So we're looking not just at the loss of the world's largest consumer of foodstuffs. We're also looking at the loss of many of our competitors when it comes to producing the stuff in the first place. So yes, demand is going to drop, but supply is going to crater. And if you're a producer who can continue to produce in this change environment, like everyone in North Dakota is, you're going to try to feed the world and you're going to fail. And then you're going to look at your bank account, you're going to get over it.
So that's something we've not been hearing as much of, the challenge of feeding the 9 billion as we did, you know, even a few years ago.
We're not going to reach 9 billion.
That was my question, is what does that picture look like then?
Well, a lot of putting a specific number or time frame on it is difficult because the countries aren't going to break down in a nice little order that's easy to do math on. We're looking at a broader structural shift, with China simply being the single biggest piece that's in trouble. But I would expect we're going to lose 1 billion people over the next 20 years. Primarily due to aging and famine. And the question is whether or not we can make enough advances in technology and automation in agriculture to prevent that from being a loss of 2 billion people. So, you know, knock on wood.
And farmers in the U.S. are producing more with less inputs and those types of things. There's also a lot less labor. The labor issue is something like groups like corn and soybean growers and others have been discussing. Is this something that's going, I mean, it sounds like will continue to be an issue?
For probably a lot longer than you're thinking. So there's two pieces to the labor equation. The first one is immigration. And until we're through this political reshuffling we're in the middle of, there's no one in Washington who wants to do meaningful immigration reform. So the inflow of immigrants who have been about half of our organic population growth for the last 30 years, that's at zero for a few more years. That's just something where you have to deal with until our political system rights itself. The second problem is homegrown demographics. The baby boomers were our largest generation ever. They're retiring. The Zoomers are our youngest and smallest generation ever. And the difference just last year between the exiting boomers and the entering Zoomers was an annual shortage of 500,000 workers. That number is going to go up for every year for the next 11 before it peaks with a one-year shortage of about 1 million. And then it'll start to die back. But we won't get back to something that resembles our 2010s labor market until the late 2040s.
And you talk about like these projections and whatnot. I'm sure a lot of that has to do with math equations that you mentioned, but there's little things that can have a big impact on those. And it's difficult to estimate where exactly that's going, but we continue to try.
Well, actually, for demographics, it's pretty straightforward, because if you want more 30-year-olds, you have to start 31 years ago. And so there's no negotiation on those numbers. We know exactly what the inflow to the labor market is going to be for the next 20 years because they're already born. Now, with immigration, that's different. That's a policy choice. So if we do decide that one of the ways we want to deal with labor inflation is to bring in more people, we can do that. But we need to either open the border or reform the immigration system, or ideally both. And obviously that has other political issues that come into play. You don't just wave a wand and make that magically happen.
Especially in D.C. right now.
Oh my God, yes.
So I'm sure other countries, you already mentioned China is already dealing with this too. So are those immigrants going to be around themselves?
Well, if you want to talk about something that we can't fully predict, but we are pretty sure of, the last time the United States decided it needed a lot of labor, and the last time the world was in a degree of just huge breakdown and there were lots of people looking for a new home, it was the 1840s. We had the German Civil Wars, and we opened up this little thing called Ellis Island, and over the course of under a decade, roughly a million Germans, and you know, Germans, people with skills, moved to the United States. And at the time, our entire population was only about 13 million. So the societal transformation of the German influx was huge, and we're still benefiting from it today. But there was a choice that had to be made against a backdrop of international chaos. We're not at a position right now where we're having that conversation in this country yet.
All right. So other things that you're looking forward to talking about here today, any other big things that you're hoping people can take out of your talk here this afternoon?
Well, this is a corn and soy conference. So those are the two commodities I'm paying the most attention to. The very, very short version is that the largest and the number 4 and 5 producers of corn and soy, are Brazil, Russia, and Ukraine, and all three of them are going to vanish from international markets before the end of the decade. So there's disruptions on both the supply side and the supply side and the demand side. Unfortunately, I cannot give you a firm schedule for the order in which all that's going to go down. So if we lose supply first, then obviously prices go through the roof. If we lose demand first, prices go through the floor. Welcome to agriculture.
Yeah, we talk about... familiar a little bit more with the cattle cycle that, mm-hmm. 12 years there, but I don't personally, just from what I know of corn and soybean markets and those commodities, it's maybe not quite that black and white and doesn't follow that same smooth pattern that you see so clearly.
Sure, because you don't have to raise a corn plant for 3 years before you get product. Yeah, I totally hear you. Now, if you want to talk about animal protein, the picture there is just as convoluted. I'm happy to say that the pork guys in the United States have steadily moved away from China for the last 4 years. So they used to be hyper-exposed, now not so much. The beef guys have gone the opposite direction.
All right. Well, not to take any more of your time here, thank you so much for talking with us. Again, Peter Zion joining us here on the Red River Farm Network.